I didn't know you had the short one.
Don't be seated as low as I am. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is the initial pre-hearing conference in docket DW14-176. Which involves Millbrook Village Water System. We're taping it because it's a more efficient way to do for the company and not have to pay the cost of a court reporter. And so I'm going to describe what we're going to be doing this morning, but I want to remind people that when you speak, be sure you speak slowly and into the microphone so that it's picked up on the taping system. And remember that if two people are talking at once, it's hard to distinguish. And unlike a court reporter, if there's a lot of rustling of papers and other sounds, it's going to make it hard to transcribe. Millbrook Village Water System filed a petition with the commission on June 27, 2014, requesting franchise approval for a limited area in the town of Thornton that serves four developments, Millbrook Village, Brookside Hollow, I'm sorry, three developments, Brookside Hollow and the Falls at Millbrook. And the company also filed a request to establish permanent rates. We issued an order of notice calling for this hearing today to begin the process. That was dated August 28, 2014. So we're here today to begin that adjudicative proceeding, hear any requests for intervention, identify issues that are likely to come up during the case. And then afterwards, all of the participants stay and work with the commission staff in developing a procedural plan on how to get through from beginning to end and to continue to talk about some of the technical issues, even though the commissioners will have left you at that point. What we should do now is ask for appearances, meaning identification of the different parties, who you are and who you represent, and I'll include in that anybody who's requesting intervention. So why don't we begin first?
My name is James Ingram, and I'm representing Millbrook Village Water System.
Thank you, and you can stay seated. It's easier, and it probably picks up better on the tape as well.
My name is John Gray, and I'm an individual homeowner. 287 Millbrook Road, and I may want to intervene.
All right, and what was your last name again?
Gray, G-R-A-Y.
Thank you.
I'm Valerie Gray, 287 Millbrook Road, and I'm here to solve.
And I'm Patty Nocito at 4 Jacobs Lane, and I'm representing myself.
Okay, and can you spell your last name, please?
N is in Nancy, O-C-I-T-O.
All right, just like it sounds. Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. Alexander Spidell representing Commission staff, and I have with me Mark Naylor, Robin Dakota, and also Jason LaFlamme.
Thank you. We have a letter we've received from John Skoglund of the Brookside Hollow condominiums that we have in the file, and it doesn't appear that he's here. Are any of the three of you members of the Brookside Hollow Condominium Association?
No.
No.
All right, thank you. So you're from a different one of a different development.
That's correct.
And which is the development that you're part of?
Millbrook Village, the individual home.
All right. So there's the Millbrook Village. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting confused. Yes, gotcha. All right. And let me just mention on when you said, Mr. Gray, you were thinking about intervening. For all of you, there are two ways people participate in these kinds of cases. One is formal intervention, where they're a party, they have obligations of sharing all of their information back and forth, copies of things. They receive all of the copies, and they have the opportunity to present testimony if they want to. They also can participate in any kind of settlement discussions that take place. There's another way that's less detailed, involves less time, where people can participate, and that's by making a public statement, either in writing or coming to the hearing. We'll give you a chance to do that today, and then even as the case goes on, there'll be another opportunity for that. So if you have issues you want to bring to everyone's attention but don't have the ability to continue to be actively engaged over the next 6 months or so, that way of just having public comment might be the option you want to take. If you are able to be more engaged and travel to hearings here and participate to a greater degree, then you might want to seek intervention. So think about that, and I'm sure Mr. Spidell or any of the staff would be willing to help explain some of that further during the technical session that follows.
Ms. Macedo, are you also Millbrook Village, or are you from one of the other?
Millbrook Village. Okay.
So the next thing we generally do with these is to ask the parties to identify the issues that they think are likely to be at play and any problem areas they think that may come forward. We normally begin with the developer, all the other participants, and end with staff, but because these are all of your people who haven't dealt with our process in the past, Mr. Spidell, why don't I start with you first to kind of lay out what you anticipate to be issues or any kind of trouble areas that you think are going to take additional attention that you're going to come to light.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. In general terms, this water system appears before the Commission for the first time for a approved rate structure pursuant to our New Hampshire RSAs governing the setting of utility rates. And in the opinion of staff, and I think it is clear in the opinion of the company, it is indeed a regulated water utility subject to those laws and rules. They have come to us for the first time, and it is plain that the water company has a significant revenue deficiency of approximately $30,000. And in order for the water company to be in a position to offer a safe and reliable service, there is going to have to be a process by which rates adequate to cover the costs of service in capital investment and plant to be developed and established by the company and approved by the commission. As a general matter, we understand that the homeowners of this water system are rather concerned about the significant increase in rates that this rate-setting process might result in, and therefore staff is very sensitive and attentive to the needs of these homeowners and will seek to balance the company's need for adequate revenue to provide service with the homeowner's own concerns. And I think that would about cover it as a very general matter. And therefore, we invite the homeowners who have come here today and all other homeowners in this system to participate as much as they are able in this process. And we also invite, as a staff, to use us as their eyes and ears, so to speak, during this proceeding and to communicate with them as appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ingram, do you have other issues that you want to make sure that are put on the record to start the process that you know are going to be at play in the proceeding?
I don't have too many that I would like to address, but I think one of the main issues with the water system being viable is the number of connections. That's all been laid out in writing and documents that I've sent. I've sent letters to the Homeowners Association explaining the same. And the higher rate comes from using a denominator of 37, which is the number of active connections that are built. The problem being that it's been since the late 80s to construct 37 units, of which I still own 9 of. So that means there's really only, whatever, 37 minus 9, 28 sold properties. And so the biggest issue that I see in this is that if we had a built-out development, we'd have a water rate roughly half of what we need, but that's not reality. It took 25 years to get here, and it's not going to happen in the next year or two or five or probably even 10. I think that's the biggest issue that I see facing this whole thing is the number of connections. If somehow we could have an economy where things would sell, we're in a remote area out there, it's a bit too remote for most people. Simply said, if, again, if you had your glasses on 20 years ago, I would have said this is too far out there for people and not done it, but here we are today. So that's what I see as the largest problem.
Thank you. Mr. Gray, other issues you want to make us aware of?
Well, I did get a letter in yesterday. I sent it overnight. But
and can you speak a little, pull the microphone closer to you?
Right.
Thank you.
I did forward a letter, and I had Mr. Ingram on the distribution, but I'm sure he didn't get it yet because it was just mailed yesterday. But nevertheless, I look back at our declaration of covenants, restrictions, reservations, easements, and so forth that is in the deeds, Grafton County Register of Deeds, 17, volume 1700, page 824, and any subsequent amendments or modifications thereto. Based on reviewing that document, in section 8, and it talks to Millbrook Village, and it has a dollar figure of $150 per year, and that goes for a certain number of years, and then it switches to the consumer price index, and it builds up from there from when we purchased a home. Based on just the recent information, we received a bill for $600. We paid that bill for $600. After going back and reviewing the documentation and the CPI, it comes out that we should have only paid, from my point of view, $254.72. Thus, I believe we overpaid $345.28. So that's one item that I'm looking for, is certainly reimbursement. The second item that Mr. Ingram pointed out, that originally it was 64 units and it didn't materialize due to the economy and other issues. Now, that's unfortunate, but still, he's a businessman, and we as property owners, I don't think should bear the burden to, you know, make him whole in this. My personal view is that as the rates are considered, that they should be considered on the original plan as identified in the Registry of Deeds. Now, if that is not true, then I believe that that deed in the documentation that we have should be updated, modified, amended to reflect what truly is now. So that's all I have to say right now.
Thank you. Ms. Gray, do you have anything further?
No. Whatever. It's fine.
Okay. Ms. Nocito?
Yes. I'm concerned about the fact that although I don't have any water issues, there are people in Millbrook that have some serious water issues, but I value my home, and if I were to put my home on the market, I'm concerned about the fact that people around town know about issues with Millbrook water, and also the cost of, the potential cost of our water system being $1,000 a year is really going to hurt if I want to sell my home. And when I bought at Millbrook, there were supposed to be 64 sites, and we would be splitting the water between 64 units. And now, Mr. Ingram is proposing that we split it 37, which is going to cost us double. And it really, a lot of us are retirees and are on fixed income. And to this day, we don't even know what our water bill is. I've gotten a bill for $300. We're told it was going to $450. Then I got a bill for $600, which I paid, and have no idea at this point. And it's very difficult when you're on a fixed income to try to figure out your finances that way.
What sort of water quality issues have you heard about from other homeowners?
Well, my water has been fine, and I'm very fortunate that way. I know, in fact, that the Grays, whom my neighbor, have serious water problems with having to change their water filters on a weekly or monthly basis. I have two neighbors up the road who put expensive water filtration systems in it because the water appears to be brown. Some people say that their laundry has been ruined. Yet, I have not had those issues, but people have. And then when I go to, if I were to go to sell my house, you know, who's going to believe me if I said, well, yeah, everybody else may be having issues, but I don't. You know, I'm kind of caught up in, you know, the water system issues as well as the cost.
Mr. Gregg, more on that?
Yes, well, since you mentioned our name, down through the years, we have had what I would consider issues, some of them minor, some of them major in a sense that potentially has cost me money. For example, the white clothes, whether it's underwear, a white shirt, a dress shirt that might cost $50, white sheets have been stained down through the years. To replace those things costs quite a bit, as everybody knows, back even years. Now, with that said, we've used other chemicals, things called Bright White or whatever, Valerie could elaborate exactly what it was, and fortunately, it came out after a second or third wash, the stains. Now, that was a real pain in the neck. Secondly, we have put a filter onto our home. We use that filter at the income of our home. We also use a double filter called Brita, and we drink bottled water, even though we know that, or we've been told that the water is safe to drink. And unless you have issues, for example, or health problems, diabetes, or cancer, or something like that. So I change my filter now. I try, sometimes through the years, this is back 10, 11 years, sometimes the filter would go, it's scheduled for 3 months, but sometimes it would go for 5-6 months, which was very good. The water was coming through clear. more recently, we've been having some problems, and I don't exactly know or can put my finger on it, except I could show you a picture that I have here. That I changed my filter just a couple of weeks ago around Labor Day, because I try to do it every 3 months. And I got to say that after changing it, when I changed my filter that same day, it got pretty cruddy. Like I said, I can show you this. And so I waited. And the next day, 24 hours later, if I may approach and give you this exhibit.
I think the main thing is going to be that you make sure that the staff and Mr. Ingram know that that's an issue.
I've sent it to Mr. Ingram. I've sent it about four times, and that was my fault because I had technology glitches. So I'm being frank. Hopefully he has it already.
I have all four.
I will give this to staff.
Okay.
And just as an exhibit. Just to confirm that, I will do that.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do staff members have any other issues that they're aware of, or any responses to what we've heard so far that you want to put on the record right now?
Yes. Staff would like to reiterate that as part of this proceeding, we're going to be looking very carefully at the accounting that the company presents for its rate request and make sure that the rate request is not excessive and that it is in line with the actual revenue needs of the company for the provision of safe and reliable service. And we are going to be very attentive to the homeowner's concerns regarding high rates and the ability of the homeowners to pay. You're going to have to balance those two elements of both the company needing to pay for its capital improvements and addressing these engineering type issues on the one hand, which takes money, and on the other hand, the homeowner's concerns about high rates. And the other piece of that is that under New Hampshire RSA 374-4, we have the ability to examine the operations and physical plans of public utilities. So if the homeowners do have specific information regarding service quality problems, it would be very useful for staff to know that, not just only in the context of this rate proceeding, but also for the ongoing operations of the public utility. So we are very welcoming of any information that we receive from utility customers about service issues or concerns about service. Certainly minerals and water, it's a thing that happens in New Hampshire, but I'm sure that something can be worked out through discussions.
Thank you. Is this on?
Yes.
A couple quick questions. I'll start with Mr. Ingram. Are the existing homes on your system, are they metered?
There are no meters.
So are you aware that, if not, I'm sure staff will tell you if they haven't already, so our rules require metering. So the reason why I asked that question, I suspect it's not just a small system. So one of my, more of a statement than a question would be, obviously I'd be looking at what rules, if any, need waivers in your filing. Similarly, and this is maybe to staff as much as anybody else, given past history with others, we're at a good juncture in that we're just starting this evolution, if you will. So I would like to be clear and make sure the utility's clear that affiliate relationships and how those work are fully understood and vetted, I think, to prevent problems later on. So more of an educational thing for all of us. And again, for Mr. Ingram, so obviously you touched upon the issue of water quality was touched upon. It has. I see you have your water quality certificate from DES. Have they evaluated the system at all, or the water quality?
Yes. I mean, obviously, constantly we have to have our water tested. Every time we test it, we have one issue with uranium, and the limit is 30 UGL, and we're 30 or 31. constantly wrestling with that. That is not one of the issues that causes any color in water, but that's our biggest challenge that we have. But we're always good on bacteria. We have no VOCs, no SOCs. I mean, they're not even detected alone. We have a dug well that does produce iron and manganese, and that was put in as treatment for uranium to mix water to lower the uranium levels, which was fine until we had to put in a new well in December-ish of this year, 2013, excuse me. And when they put the new well in, they started all records from zero. So when I got a uranium test of 31, it wasn't averaged with other quarters, so it put me over the limit. I did speak to DES about it. They agreed that if it was a continuation of the five quarters, it wouldn't be an issue, but because of the new well, it kind of started things from ground zero again, and so here we are with a limit of 30 and readings of 32. And I just got a letter yesterday that they're basically saying they want a different uranium treatment, which just, it will be one more expense to deal with that hasn't even been on the table yet. But other than that, with water quality issues, I mean, they're, the state, as you know, tests for 300-ish items, and all the records are there and available. I give them to the people. They get their consumer confidence reports, and we do our best to make the water good. I can't solve John's problem with some gray that gets on the first layer of yarn on his filter. You know, it's not a water quality health issue. The iron that we've had in the past with the dug well, until we got that under control, and when a well went down, this is all in writing for someone. I know this is a very shorthand form, but when that well went down, we ran on our dug well alone from probably September, October of last year until the new well finally got online with all the state issues in January. So there may well have been, even though that has a treatment system on it, if there were any you know, staining issues in that period, I can certainly understand why there might have been. I don't know if those are in the period John's even discussing, because you know, it was a later time, like, not sure, 2009-ish, that we put the treatment system on the dug well. I believe that going back, it was 2006 that we put the dug well in. So we had 3 years that it wasn't treated, but it was mixing with other water. And some of the, I think most of the staining issues that Mr. Gray is talking about probably were in that 2006 to 2009. I'm not sure. So that's my thoughts on water quality.
Well, thank you for that. Obviously, the downside of being the grant state is we're also the radon state. So I understand that. Thank you.
All right. I think that concludes our portion of the hearing. We will adjourn the formal part. We then will go to a technical session, which is just a chance to continue to talk about these issues, look at a schedule, answer questions people have, and then we'll await a report of the schedule. We always encourage, if it can be reached, any sort of settlement of issues. If there's a way to resolve some things by agreement, that makes it less of a cumbersome process to go through the adjudicative hearings here. But if people can't agree, that's also fine. And that's what we're here to do, is get to then make a determination. So you'll have opportunities to have those discussions down the road and to do what we call discovery, you know, engaging in written requests to fill out more of the picture, more background on the various things we've been talking about this morning and whatever other issues come forward. So I wish you luck with that. We'll wait to hear from the staff on a report on a procedural schedule. And unless there's anything else, this phase is adjourned. Thank you.